بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا إلى يوم الدين أما بعد اللهم لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما وعملا يا كريم All praises belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala We seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's assistance and we seek His guidance subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the evils of our souls and the adverse consequences of our deeds. Whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decrees guidance upon, then none can misguide him. And whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decrees misguidance upon, then none can guide him. And peace and salutations be upon the final messenger, Muhammad ibn Abdullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. First and foremost, all praises belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for inspiring this get-together, a get-together in a house from the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and especially to discuss a topic pertaining to the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the Sahih, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said, it's a hadith we hear many a time, and this gathering is deserving of this hadith being repeated. He said, مَجْتَمَعَ قَوْمٌ فِي بَيْتٍ مِنْ بُيُوتِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى يَتْلُونَ كِتَابَ اللَّهِ وَيَتَدَارَسُونَهُ فِيمَا بَيْنَهُمْ إِلَّا نَزَلَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ السَّكِينَةِ وَغَشِيَتْهُمُ الرَّحْمَةِ وَحَفَّتْهُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ وَذَكَرَهُمُ اللَّهُ فِي مَنْ عِنْدَهُ He says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that there's no group of people that gather together in a house from the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يَتْلُونَ كِتَابَ اللَّهِ They recite the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَيَتَدَارَسُونَهُ فِي مَا بَيْنَهُمْ And they study between themselves lessons from this book. Except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala causes contentment to descend upon that gathering and causes this gathering to be engulfed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy and instructs the angels to surround this particular gathering. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this gathering to those that are with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. La ilaha illallah. What an amazing blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon those that practice these types of gatherings. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mention us to those that are with Him. Ameen. From the outset, I'm grateful to visit Al-Muntada Al-Islami. It's my first visit here. Although I have been in touch with those that work here for a while. And it is my first program in London. I was touring the Southwest over the past few days, and I must say this because it's a theme now, that after my first talk, which started a week ago, I lost my voice, subhanallah. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it easy for me to crawl through the remainder of the tour, bringing my voice back at the time of the talks, barely, but alhamdulillah, it was enough for me to participate with the audience, walillahi alhamd. And I'm still experiencing a recovery. But inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant cure, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. Ameen. Indeed, the Qur'an is a shifa and a cure. So when one reads it and teaches it, then they stand a chance of medicating themselves. The true medication. I also want to thank my brothers and sisters in attendance here today for coming here with your ears, of course. And being attentive, and for your listenership. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us a gathering that is blessed, a gathering that hears a good word and follows it, a gathering that is forgiven upon its departure, and a gathering that comes together for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala many, many more times in this dunya as well as in the hereafter. Ameen. My dear brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with countless blessings. And you've heard me say this many a time. And from the greatest of these blessings is the miraculous Qur'an. this miracle that was given to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This preserved final testament. The book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Inna nahnu nazzalna dhikra wa inna lahu lahafidhun." That indeed we have revealed this revelation and we will take charge of its protection and take care of its protection. And we witnessed this promise in the age that we are experiencing. And the generations before us witnessed this promise as well. And our children and the generations to come after us will also witness this promise. And this promise is not as many restricted to, pertaining to the words of the Quran per se, the recited words. Rather, its scope of protection is much vaster than we normally think. For this protection is comprehensive and includes matters pertaining to the recitation of the Quran. Subhanallah. Today we have schools teaching the qira'at. The qira'at al-mutawatira. These qira'at that have been established from the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. It's preserved. It's protected. And the greatest way to protect something is to teach it. This is the difference between wealth and knowledge, as our scholars say. They say to protect wealth, you have to lock it in a box. But to protect knowledge, you have to spread it. You have to release it, not keep it and hoard it. Protection of knowledge happens by teaching it. This promise of protection, my dear brothers and sisters, is comprehensive as well of the Quranic meanings. And everything related to those meanings, insofar as, for example, the reasons of revelations are concerned. This is knowledge which we have with us today, with a chain of narrators leading back to the best of generations. We have knowledge of the reasons behind the revelation of certain ayat in the Quran. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects this revelation as well by setting aside a punishment for those who lack diligence with the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thus the topic today, the Quran, the abandoned companion. For yes, it is a companion. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His book, He mentions to us something that will happen on the day of Qiyamah. Something that will happen on the day of Qiyamah. He mentions to us a complaint of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A complaint that will take place on the day of Qiyamah, where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will say, "Ya Rabb, O my Lord, inna qawmi, indeed my people, ittakhadhu hadha al-Qur'ana mahjura." They have taken this Quran as something abandoned. Thus the title, The Abandoned Companion. Because the inference from this complaint of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is the opposite of abandonment, which is companionship. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam will cite this complaint to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Now, if we look at this ayah, if we zoom into it, we see that he says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "Inna qawmi," indeed my people. Indeed my people. And when he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, refers to his people, then specifically he's referring to the people of Mecca and the Quraysh. And generally he's referring to everyone from this ummah that lacks diligence with all the relationships established by the Sharia with the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقَالَ الرَّسُولُ يَا رَبْ إِنَّ قَوْمِ اتَّخَذُوا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ مَهْجُورًا. In another qiraah, إِنَّ قَوْمِيَا. And in another qiraah, إِنَّ قَوْمِ اتَّخَذُوا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ مَهْجُورًا. Such as in the qira'ah of Ibn Kathir al-Makki. Ibn Kathir al-Makki doesn't mention the Hamza in the word Qur'an. But the majority of scholars say Quran as Quran as we have come to know it. But there's a second view that it's Quran. And this is also discussed by the ulama of fiqh and usul. The derived word from which Quran was taken. Is it derivative and taken from another word such as qara'a, which means to recite and means to gather? Because in the Quran we have ayat which are gathered. And in the Quran we have that which is recited. Or is it a proper noun, as is the view of Imam al-Shafi'i rahmatullahi alayhi, where he says it's a proper noun, like we have Torah and Injil. These are not derived names, they are proper nouns in and of itself. Thus, Quran is a proper noun, ala kulli hal. This is a footnote and a form of fa'ida and benefit to our discussion. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's a Rasul, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقَالَ الرَّسُولُ. The Rasul said, meaning Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Rasul is different to Nabi, because a Nabi is a prophet, but a Rasul is a prophet that was given a book and sent to a nation. A Nabi is a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Somebody that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke to. And as our scholars say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent 124,000 Nabis, prophets. But in terms of messengers, He sent, as some of the scholars say, 314. There's another footnote, but it's beneficial. We should know these aspects of our Sharia. We should know these aspects of our history. Today we know a lot of aspects of other people's history. But that's another discussion. If we look at the people who stood on Badr, their number as well was 314. Who can give me another example from our history where there was 314 people? Now, the army of Talut, ahsant. The army of Talut, there was 314. Thus Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala establishes kam min fi'atin qalilatin ghalabat fi'atan kathiratan bi'idhnillah. How many? A small group of people overcame a large group of people with the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But people of substance, not shallow people, people of substance, people of caliber, men who were, a man who in and of himself was known as men. He was many men in one. Rahmatullahi alayhim. Ala kulli hal. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقَالَ الرَّسُولُ يَا رَبْ أَوْ مَيْ لُودِ إِنَّ indeed قَوْمِي my people, meaning the Quraysh specifically. And all of us fall under the implication of this ayah if we adopt away from the ways that are considered the abandonment of the Qur'an. اتَّخَذُوا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ مَهْجُورًا. They have abandoned this Qur'an. They have abandoned this Qur'an. Now, how does abandonment take place? Our scholars, rahmatullahi alayhim, have discussed this, such as Ibn al-Qayyim and others, rahmatullahi alayhim. They've discussed ways in which the ummah, after the Quraysh, can abandon the Quran. From these ways of abandoning the Quran, they say, is by not listening to it, not lending an ear to it, and more so an attentive ear. Right? Sometimes we play the Quran, wal'iyadhu billah, just for a sense of noise around us. Wal'iyadhu billah. The Quran, these are the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When it's played, fastami'u lahu wa ansitu. Subhanallah. Not just listen to it, but pay attention to it. This is the Quranic instruction. This is the Quranic instruction. So from the abandonment of the Quran is not listening to it. We don't have a program in our day or our week where we pay attention to the Quran. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would ask the Sahaba to read the Quran to him, as is in the story of Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. When Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him to read, and he said, I should read when it was revealed to you. And he said, sometimes I love to listen to it. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So abandoning the Quran entails not having a program in which we listen to the Quran. And from being disrespectful to the Quran is what we said earlier, where we played the Quran for noise. Or the Quran is being played and we're speaking over the recitation of the Quran. Wal'iyadu billah. This is from disrespecting the Quran. This is from taking the Quran as something abandoned. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us. Due diligence must be practiced. Where we give the Quran its haqq, and if we need to speak, we switch it off. So, from abandoning the Quran is not listening to it. From abandoning the Quran as well, as cited by our ulama, rahmatullahi alayhim, is not following its teachings. Now, I'm not talking about the way of the Quraysh where they didn't believe in it. I'm talking about those who believe that this is the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The unchanged word, that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to His Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, via Jibreel alayhi salam. But they do not follow its teachings. They do not look after its halal and stay away from its haram. Because in the Quran, there is mention of that which is permitted and that which is not permitted. And if we look at the best generation, and they were the best generation, we see that one of the qualities they had that made them the best generation was their relevance with the Quran. They lived the Quran, and this is present in countless examples. And Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam was the best leader and example for them. And as some of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in said, that he was the best in Ramadan. And some of our scholars, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shower his mercy upon them, they say that he was the best because during this month, he was revising the Quran with Jibreel alayhi salam. So the net result of this extra application with the Quran made him naturally even better. It was a natural effect. La ilaha illallah. Amazing how they lived the Quran. And Aisha radiallahu anha describes him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a moving Quran. His character was the Quran. When you read the Quran in theory, you saw it in practice. In Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gather us with him in Jannah. So he was the best example. And the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in followed him. Total submission to the Quranic instruction. Total submission. From these many stories is the story of Thabit ibn Qais al-Shammas radiallahu anhu. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed in Surah Al-Hujurat, in the second ayah, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَرْفَعُوا أَصْوَاتَكُمْ فَوْقَ صَوْتِ النَّبِيِّ وَلَا تَجْهَرُوا لَهُ بِالْقَوْلِ كَجَهْرِ بَعْضِكُمْ لِبَعْضٍ أَنْ تَحْبَطَ أَعْمَالُكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَشْعُرُونَ. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed, O you who believe, raise not your voice above the voice of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, nor speak aloud to him in talk as you speak aloud to one another, lest your deeds be rendered useless whilst you perceive not. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from this, where we live a life and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards us from our good whilst we in this dunya, and we get to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we find nothing. May Allah protect us from this. Allahul musta'an. Allahu al-musta'an. وَقَدِمْنَا إِلَى مَا عَمِلُوا مِنْ عَمَلٍ فَجَعَلْنَاهُ هَبَاءً مَنْثُورًا. Allahu al-musta'an. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about a specific group of people, and that the good they did, they received the reward for it whilst they were in this world. قَدِمْنَا. We gave it to them before. And when they met Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, thinking that they had rewards to acquire because of the way they lived their life in this world, they found nothing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, what they found was like scattered dust. They were rewarded for it, subhanallah. And that's why we should be fearful of servants of Allah. And O children of Adam, that we know our sins and our lack of seeking forgiveness for these sins. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with the waking of every day. Financial standing, material well-being. We don't make a dua except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us. We should thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do not take it for granted. Because it might just be that you are being rewarded for the good that you do in this world. For there is some other evil that is rendering your deeds useless. Whilst we perceive not, wallahu musta'an. Thus thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the blessings that He gives you, for this thanks is a means of collecting on the day of Qiyamah. And the one who thanks is the one who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspires to thank. Yes. Don't think for one moment when you thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's from yourself. And when you didn't thank Him, it was from yourself. Meaning, you felt like not thanking. And you felt like thanking. This is tawfiq from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a fact. When you do good, you have been inspired because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to increase for you. He wants to reward you. And this doesn't mean we don't have a choice. We do. When we do something good, we have a choice because we don't know the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the qadr is based on ilm and knowledge. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's knowledge is not confined to the past tense and the present tense and the future tense. Allah knew the life we would live before we were even created, subhanahu wa ta'ala. He knows what was, and He knows what is, and He knows what is to be, and He knows how it will be, and He knows what will not be. And if those things that will not be happen to be, then how they will be, He also knows, subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So understand that it's tawfiq from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Think about it yourself. How easy it is to observe dhikr, to say the adhkar of the morning, the adhkar of the evening, or general dhikr whilst we're driving to work, or coming back from work, or walking back from the masjid. How easy is it to say, Alhamdulillah, Subhanallah, Allahu Akbar? How easy is it? But how many of us do it? We might find ourselves humming a tune, wal'iyadhu billah. This shows you, it doesn't cost you anything, but we still don't do it. It's tawfiq from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ذَلِكَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ يُؤْتِيهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. Allah blesses those whom He wills. Thus we must always thank Him. Alhamdulillah الَّذِي هَدَانَا لِهَذَا وَمَا كُنَّا لِنَهْتَدِيَ لَوْلَا أَنْ هَدَانَ اللَّهِ لَوْلَا أَنْ هَدَانَ اللَّهِ. Look at this dua. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and thank Him for guiding us to this goodness. For if it wasn't for His guidance to it, we wouldn't have been part of this khair. You sitting here today, and me being here today, and those who have organized this event today, it's because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided its presence. Thus we should say, Alhamdulillah, and thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that Allah makes us from the other gathering similar to this, where we continue learning and increasing for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the point is, we seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's protection from our deeds being rendered void whilst we perceive not. And from the active ways of protecting ourselves from this plight is by thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after every good act. Na'am. We shouldn't become arrogant with every act of worship. Rather humble. Because the right of Islam is to learn. And the right of learning is to act. And the haqq and right of acting is to become more humble. This was the way of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'een. After Islam, look at the change. Their character was more beautiful, but more humble. Look at Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. How he walks to Bayt al-Maqdis after it was opened. Walking, whilst he has his camel, his ride next to him. With his slippers underneath his armpits. Radiallahu anhu. And when the Sahabi tells him, radiallahu an, that, oh Amir al-Mu'mineen, this is another qawm. Rather walk whilst wearing your slippers. And Ibn al-Khattab radiallahu an turns to him and says, if it was other than you who said this, you would have been disciplined. But understand that honor is not in whether I have my slippers on my feet or under my armpits. I'm paraphrasing and giving you the meaning of the discussion. But honor is in Islam. نَحْنُ قَوْمٌ أَعَزَّنَ اللَّهُ بِالْإِسْلَامِ. We are a nation that has been honored because of Islam. And wallahi, this is true. Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, before Islam, was worshipping idols that he would make from dates. And when he was hungry, he would eat it. Radiallahu anhu. This was their status and practice before Islam. But look at them after Islam. That today we say they are the giants that walked this earth. And the giants upon whom shoulders we try to walk. Try to walk. We can't even say we are walking on their shoulders. We tried to walk on their shoulders. Look how Islam expanded at the time of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu. Ala kulli hal. We seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's protection from arrogance. Another point comes to mind, and I'll share it with you quickly before we move on, and that is, or that proves this point of becoming more humbler when we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and being more thankful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when He guides us to goodness, is in the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha, that she asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that if I witness Laylat al-Qadr, what should I do? And Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaches her to say, Allahumma innaka afuun tuhibbu al-afwa fa'afu anni. Now ponder over this, because we are people of substance. We are commanded to ponder over the Quran. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَفَلَا يَعْقِلُونَ أَفَلَا يَتَفَكَّرُونَ إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِّأُولِي النُّهَى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses our intellect. And the sunnah is a type of revelation. It's not the Quran, but it's a type of revelation. Nothing that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said was from himself. So we should ponder over the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's telling Aisha radiallahu anha, after she fasts the day, during the month of Ramadan, and spends the night in worship, he advises her to do what? To seek forgiveness. La ilaha illallah. Ponder over this, O servants of Allah. And O children of Adam, ponder over this. There is not a point where we say, khalas, we were worshipping throughout the day, and worshipping throughout the night, and ascertain for ourselves a type of arrogance, a type of pride that is disliked by Islam. La. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam nurtures us to become even more humble. Lower yourself even more. Seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't know if this ibadah is accepted. And we know that we had weakness in our ibadah. We know what we did whilst we fasted. And we know how weak we were during the worship. Thus Ali radiallahu an is reported to have said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَفَثْنَتَيْنِ فِثْنَتَيْنِ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has hidden two things in two things. The first thing is, He has hidden your knowledge of His happiness after you worship Him. You don't know. We don't know. He has hidden that from us, whether He's pleased with us, whether He's accepted it from us, whether it's ibadah that has been rejected. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from us and forgive us. Ameen. And the other thing He has hidden is the knowledge of His awliya in and amongst you. Subhanallah. Look at this statement of Ali radiallahu anhu. It's amazing, because when we ponder over the statement, we acquire encouragement to better ourselves with regards to Allah, and to better ourselves with regards to the ibad of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? We lack knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being happy with our worship. So we strive harder, and we seek forgiveness, and we are more thankful. So this raises our status in terms of our connection and relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then with the ibadah of Allah, you don't know who's a wali from His awliya. Thus we strive to be good to the ibadah of Allah. We don't backbite them. We protect their honor. We strive to serve them during their difficulties. And you never know that one day you might do good to someone who is a wali from the awliya of Allah. And they will make dua for you. And that dua will be the opening of your dunya and akhirah. Subhanallah. You never know. When we ponder over this, we understand the importance of ihsan with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and ihsan with the worshippers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding. From the examples, O servants of Allah and O children of Adam, with regards to the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'een, and their relevance with the Quran, and their living the Quran, is Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu. We know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with regards to alcohol, He made it haram in stages. There was tadarruj. There was tadarruj. And every time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed a stage, Umar radiallahu anhu made a dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reveal clear instruction with regards to alcohol. There was something in him with regards to the act. And when the next stage came, he made the dua again. And when the next stage came, making alcohol forbidden in clear text, immediately he said, intahayna, intahayna. We have stopped. Immediate submission. to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is living the Quran. And this is Islam. For Islam means istislam. To submit to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the moment that you are living in. That same moment you ask yourself, is this beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What does the Quran say about this? If it's beloved, I will practice it. And if it's not, I will refrain from it. Submission to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from the true submitters to His will. Ameen. We have, as a third example, the example of Abu Talha, radiallahu anhu. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed, لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ, that you will not acquire piety until you spend, not any spending, but from that which you love. From that which you love. That's what you give for the sake of Allah. Give the best to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a lesson for us. Especially for those who supposedly volunteer for Islamic organizations. I don't like to use the word volunteer. I like to use the word invest. The investors. Because whatever you do for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala remains and is multiplied. So there's no sacrifice. You're not losing anything. You're investing something, it's gained for you. You gave $1 to Allah, He multiplied it. 10 or 700, or as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wished. You gave Him 1 minute of your time, He multiplied it for you. He made your Jannah bigger. So there's no sacrifice. Sacrifice has the connotation of something being given up. It's an investment. It's a lesson to those who invest. That when you work with an Islamic organization, and give time for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and give wealth for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, be more diligent than the time you spend at your day job. Be more diligent. It shouldn't be that because you quote unquote volunteering, that you miss your deadlines. There's a deadline tomorrow, you're tired, you say, khair, I'll do it after 2 days. They'll understand. Yes, they'll understand. But have you understood? That's the question. لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ, until you spend from that which is beloved to you. Abu Talha radiallahu anhu, he had a garden, بَيْرُوحَ, as is found in the Sunnah. And it was beloved to him. And it faced Masjid al-Nabawi. And when he heard this ayah, he went to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said. This garden is for Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Submission, brothers and sisters. Taking the Quran as a true companion. Not just at face value. So these are examples. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to be with these people in Jannah. Ameen. And inspire us to walk the path they walked whilst we live our lives in this world. Ameen. As the poet said, أُولَٰئِكَ آبَاءِ فَجِئْنِي بِمِثْلِهِمْ, that those are our fathers, so bring me those like them. Where are they? Where are the men of our ummah? It starts with living the Qur'an. So my dear brothers and sisters, we see the companions and the attachment to the Qur'an. And from abandoning the Qur'an, is not looking after the commands. Today, subhanAllah, how many read the Qur'an? And they read the ayah in the Qur'an, أَنْفِقُوا مِن طَيِّبَاتِ مَا كَسَبْتُمْ وَمِمَّا أَخْرَجْنَا لَكُمْ مِنَ الْأَرْضِ. How many times do we read Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructing us to spend from the طَيِّبَات, from the halal that we have acquired and earned, and to spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How many times have we read this? But in the same breath, we read it whilst our businesses are based upon interest. Allahumma musta'an. Oh, we have businesses that sell alcohol. Allahul Musta'an. This is from abandoning the Quran. That we don't look after the borders that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed in this Quran. Aqimu salah. Establish the salah. But salah is not established. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. There's an athar which does not seem to be established as something said by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But the meaning of it, no doubt, is correct. It's mentioned by Imam Al-Ghazali, rahmatullahi alayhi, and obviously he got it from others. It is said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, but as I said, it's not established, but his meaning is correct. As Shaykh Ibn Baz rahmatullahi alayhi and others have said, the meaning is correct. رُبَّ قَارِئٍ لِلْقُرْآنِ وَالْقُرْآنِ يَلْعَنُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. How many a person recites the Quran and the Quran is cursing him? Allahu musta'an. You're reciting the Quran and the Quran is cursing you. Why? Because you're reading what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed. You're reading the words of Allah. رب العزة والجلال الواحد القهار الأحد الفرد الصمد الذي لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. You're reading it by night and contradicting it by day. والعياذ بالله. So let's revise ourselves, O servants of Allah and O children of Adam. Let's revise ourselves in this context of abandonment. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us. We shouldn't lose hope. This is not a point of making us become sad. Rather, it's a means of highlighting the obvious which we have forgotten. Sometimes there's so much noise around us that we fail to hear ourselves. We fail to see that what we're actually doing is wrong. Right? So it's just a means of highlighting an issue. But the believer is the one that makes amends immediately. They turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ثُمَّ يَتُوبُونَ مِنْ قَرِيبٍ. As is in the last quarter of the fourth juz. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that immediately they seek forgiveness for their mistakes. For those Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives. Let's never lose hope. As long as we're breathing, we always have a chance to turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And seek forgiveness for our mistakes. And seeking forgiveness starts with amends. So don't become sad. La. Rather become a person of action who's going to take amends now. With the vision of being a companion to the Qur'an. And with the vision of making the Qur'an a companion in his or her life. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding. Ameen. From the ways, brothers and sisters, that we abandon the Qur'an is by not taking heed when reciting the Qur'an. We don't recite it properly. Taking care of the makhraj. And taking care of the tajweed. And some of the scholars like Imam Al-Jazari, rahmatullahi alayhi, they considered reciting the Qur'an with tajweed, wajib. Wajib, compulsory. And you're sinful if you don't. We've all memorized. Al-akhdu bit-tajweedi hatmul lazimu. Man lam yujawwidi al-Qur'ana athimu. We've memorized the poetry of Imam Al-Jazari. Right? That to recite the Qur'an with tajweed is compulsory. And whoever doesn't is sinful. We recite the Qur'an and we are ascertaining and acquiring sins. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. Thus we must make, this doesn't mean we should leave reciting the Qur'an. La. We should recite the Qur'an on whatever level we've reached. But we should have an active means accompanying us that helps us improve the recitation of the Qur'an. Getting involved in the Qur'an halaqat. The Qur'an circles that are specialized towards teaching us the correct recitation. Listening to the good qurra to acquire from them the correct recitation. This is the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah will build your jannah by it and make your scales heavy on the day of qiyamah through it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us beautiful reciters of the Qur'an. Ameen. From the ways, brothers and sisters, that we abandon the Qur'an is through not respecting it. Through not respecting it. Now this is a touchy topic, because we have two extremes with regards to this concept and matter. We have the one extreme that is so focused on staying away from bid'ah, and this is good, that they end up allowing matters that are clearly disrespect of the Qur'an. And then we have those who take respecting the Qur'an to a level that they include in their practice that which is bid'ah, not established as a practice from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or they practice it in such a way as if it's a sunnah. These are two extremes. We have to be in the middle. Avoiding bid'ah is important. But disrespecting the Qur'an is also an evil thing. Disrespecting the Qur'an is even an evil thing. Revering the Qur'an is from the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. These are the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It should never ever be belittled. And never forget that from the outset, acts which are not considered worship are permissible. This is a qa'ida well known, that has been established by the fuqaha and the ulama of usul. That which is not worship from the outset is permissible. Revering the Qur'an in a practical matter, not considering it to be from the sunnah, or a means of worship, is permissible. We need to take care of this principle. But we also have to take care of the principle of looking after the ways of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'een and how they respected the Qur'an. Because we know the Qur'an came in book form after Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or in one book. It doesn't mean it wasn't written down at the time of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but we're talking it as something compiled, as a mushaf, as we know it today. So we need to look at how they practiced, or what their practices were with the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We find in the sunnah, I'm trying to remember where I saw the narration, but khair, it's in one of the books of the sunnah, Abu Dawood or An-Nasa'i, rahmatullahi alayhim. And this hadith is considered acceptable. Once the Torah was brought to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he was sat on a cushion. And when it was brought, he got off the cushion, placed it down, and put the Torah on top of it. But today, how do we scold people who might place the Quran on a cushion, for example, and prefer not to place the Quran on the floor, for example? We should take the middle path of servants of Allah. The Quran is a book that deserves to be revered. Now, the scholars, yes, have differed with regards to putting the Quran on the floor, and is it permitted, and is it not permitted, with a statement from Ibn Abbas radiallahu anh saying it's permissible. Whether it's permitted or not, and this discussion that happens at the level of the fuqaha, this is something else. But no doubt that all of them agree that giving it extra respect is better. Sometimes the discussion of permissible and not permissible is not restricted to halal and haram. It may be permitted, according to some scholars, to place it on the floor, but the same scholars will tell you, but it's better not to. And this is a fact. Some of our mashayikh, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserve them, they have said that even if you listen to the Quran in your car, if it's possible for you to adjust the sound system to push out the sound through the back speakers which are higher, do that. Instead of the lower speakers where your feet are. Subhanallah. Today if we say this in some circles, we'll say, but this guy is being extreme. He's being extreme. They're not saying it's haram, but subhanallah. This is what I've heard them say. And I say, alhamdulillah, that this is the middle way. The Quran deserves diligence. The Quran deserves diligence. Sometimes we find ourselves sitting with our feet pointed to the Quran. And subhanallah, some people who do this, in their culture, if somebody sat with their feet pointed to them, they would take offense. They would take offense. Some people turn the pages of the Quran as they turn the pages of normal books. They'll put their finger on their tongue and turn the page. Now, we're not discussing permissible, impermissible. Let's move to a level above that. Let's move to the level of responsibility. If I put my finger on my tongue and then put it on your cheek, would you like that? How would you feel? You came to see me, and once you talk to me, I stick my finger in my mouth and I wipe it on your cheek. How would you feel? We take offense. Thus understand this, O servants of Allah. Understand that these are the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. From abandoning the Quran is lacking this concept of respecting the Quran. And remember, I said, we don't want to enter the realm of bid'ah. But in the same breath, we don't want to enter the realm of actually disrespecting it, thinking that this is from the Sharia. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us wisdom and understanding. Ameen. The Quran, brothers and sisters, was revealed to be read, and it was revealed to be memorized, and it was revealed to be listened to. But the essence behind its revelation was tadabbur, and that is to ponder over the meanings in this Quran, the secrets in this Quran, the implicits behind the explicits. كِتَابٌ أَنزَلْنَاهُ إِلَيْكَ مُبَارَكٌ إِشْ وَلَيْشْ لِيَدَّبَّرُوا آيَاتِ وَلِيَتَذَكَّرَ أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ. A blessed book we have revealed to you, O Muhammad. Why? So that they may ponder over its ayat, and that those of understanding will remember. So from abandoning the Quran is not practicing this concept of tadabbur. And this is something that lacks in the ummah today. And up to a few years ago, it lacked even in the Arab world. And walillahi alhamd, there's an active movement from the mashayikh where they're getting together and starting up organizations dedicated towards tadabbur al-Quran. This concept of pondering over the Quran. The Quran, O servants of Allah and O children of Adam, is not like any book that you and I would write. These are the words of Allah. And in this Quran are meanings which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens to the hearts that deserve the understanding of these meanings. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from amongst them. That we sit with the Quran and we ponder over the Quran. The Quran is so precise in its instruction. There is no word which is extra or redundant or out of place. That we sit with every mention. And if we feel that something is extra, we spend more time there because it's not extra. And we unlock the reason behind its presence. And we grow ourselves and learn about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more and become connected to Him more. And we see value that is added to our lives. Subhanallah, this is why it's a book you can keep on reading and you never get bored. Many of you know that I've lectured on the tafsir of Surah Yusuf and other surahs, but mainly Surah Yusuf in London and in many cities in the UK. I promise you, as a personal experience, there is never a course that I teach it except that something new comes from it. And I take a point to tell you to the students that what I'm mentioning to you now is exclusive. It wasn't mentioned in the courses before. This is something that dawned upon me now, subhanallah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Yusuf and his brothers were signs for those who ask. And as Ibn al-Qayyim says, 1,000 lessons from Surah Yusuf. If he only wrote those 1,000 lessons for us. But it was encouragement for us to practice the tadabbur, not rely on somebody else to practice it for us. He did his and he left us golden pieces of lessons and advice. But this is for us as well, O servants of Allah and O children of Adam. Inshallah, we have this two-day program that is titled Tadabbur al-Quran at Al-Muntada al-Islami. Inshallah, we're going to speak in a little bit more detail about Tadabbur al-Quran. So I ask you to come. And I ask you to get your family members to attend as well. If there's places, I believe it's the places are filling up pretty fast, but still come. Inshallah, they'll find chairs for you to sit on. Because I think it's important for us to speak in a little bit more detail about tadabbur. At least plant the seed of understanding about the dynamics of tadabbur. And this is what I hope to do, inshallah, when we meet over the next 2 days. So from abandoning the Quran is not practicing tadabbur. Is not practicing tadabbur. Understand this, O servants of Allah. And this is something that definitely lacks and attention is needed. And thus request from your imams and your scholars to have sessions of tadabbur weekly in the masajid. We have many lessons pertaining to fiqh and many lessons pertaining to hadith. And even tafsir on a technical level. Ask our imams and our scholars to sit down with us and ponder over the Quran with us. That we take an ayah by ayah. It might take us 1 week, 2 weeks, where we just discuss one ayah. And we extract, and extract, and extract. By Allah, I've tried this sometimes from one ayah, 11 pieces of benefit. 11 benefits from one ayah, which are the implicit. The explicit of the ayah is telling us one thing, but your pondering and deliberating over the ayah brings out other meanings. From this we can understand this, and from that we can understand that, subhanallah. And it just makes you more amazed and encourages you more to go to the next ayah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding. Perhaps I will share with you some of my experiences with tadabbur in the next couple of days, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. So, understand this, O servants of Allah. And O children of Adam, that this Quran is a light. It requires us understanding it. It requires us pondering over it. It's a light. How can it be a light for us when we don't understand it? When we don't try and take the maximum we can from it? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَوَمَنْ كَانَ مَيْتًا فَأَحْيَيْنَاهُ وَجَعَلْنَا لَهُ نُورًا يَمْشِي بِهِ فِي النَّاسِ كَمَمْ مَثَلُهُ فِي الظُّلُمَاتِ لَيْسَ بِخَارِجٍ مِّنْهَا. This is this Quran. Allah says, can the one who is dead, spiritually dead, فَأَحْيَيْنَا, we made him spiritually alive. How? وَجَعَلْنَا لَهُ نُورًا, through this Quran, through this revelation. How can he be the same as the one who is in darkness, and no matter how hard he tries, he cannot extract himself from this darkness? Wal'iyadu billah. Inshallah, we'll discuss this in detail over the next couple of days, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. So in a nutshell, tadabbur refers to spending time with the Qur'an in a way that allows you to learn from the secrets of the Qur'an. My dear brothers and sisters, from abandoning the Qur'an, and this is specifically cited by Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, as well as others, is not using the Qur'an as a cure. Subhanallah. This has been cited as a category that falls under the complaint of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the day of Qiyamah, that we never used the Qur'an to cure us. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He describes honey in the Qur'an as a cure. But He describes it as a cure for mankind, all of mankind, the believers and the disbelievers. But when He discusses the Qur'an and cites it as a cure, He says it's a cure for who? It's a cure and mercy for the mu'mineen, the believers. For the believers. So the Qur'an is a cure, but its realm is not specific to the external. To the external. It's a spiritual cure as well. It cures the ailments of the heart, the doubts of the heart. It cures the weak iman of the self. This is the Qur'an. When we feel weak, when our iman is weak, we should read Qur'an, with the intention of it curing our iman. When we feel low, we should read the Qur'an, with the intention of it curing us, because the Qur'an, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said it's a shifa. But He said for the believers, which means it has an effect on this iman. This is tadabbur, by the way. Without us trying, we've extracted a benefit. Right? Because Allah didn't make honey specific to the believers. He cited it as a cure for the people. But with the Qur'an, it was specific to the believers. And what's the difference between the believer and the disbeliever? Iman. Thus, it's a cure for weak iman. And a cure for a doubtful heart. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect our hearts from the sicknesses of the heart. Ameen. The heart spiritually becomes sick, just as it physically become sick. And I've discussed this in a talk titled The Heart. It's online for reference for those who want to learn more about the sicknesses of the heart and its cures. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from us. So the heart becomes sick. And from curing the heart is this Qur'an. Is this Qur'an. And not utilizing it as a cure is from abandoning the Qur'an. Is from abandoning the Qur'an. We know even in Ruqya we use the Qur'an. The Qur'an is recited. And many of us become sick today, and our first point of reference is the pharmacy and the physical medicine. And we're not saying that that shouldn't be the case. We should take the means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made a means. And medicine, through experience, is a means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has established on earth to acquire a cure. But don't forget that the Qur'an also is a means to you being cured, an even greater means to you being cured. Thus we should be diligent with regards to the Qur'an and our sickness, both physical as well as spiritual. So these are from the few sightings, brothers and sisters, in our explanation of the ayah, وَقَالَ الرَّسُولُ يَا رَبِّ إِنَّ قَوْمِ اتَّخَذُوا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ مَهْجُورًا. These are the few examples cited by our scholars, rahmatullahi alayhim, pertaining to this term, mahjuran, which is abandoning the Qur'an. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at this juncture, just before we begin our Salatul Isha, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in this period, between the adhan and the iqamah, a period cited as a time when du'as are accepted and answered, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from amongst those that complete the mushaf regularly. Once every month at least. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu is reported to have said that a person who doesn't complete the Qur'an once every month has practiced hajr, or hajr al-Qur'an, which is the abandoning of the Qur'an. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to raise us with the family of the Qur'an on the day of Qiyamah. To make the Qur'an an intercessor for us on the day of Qiyamah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from amongst those that are told to seek their destination in Jannah based on this Qur'an. We know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell those who are regular with the Qur'an to read and rise. And their last ayah, or the place that they reach upon reciting the last ayah, is their position in Jannah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from amongst those that has a position set in Jannah based on the Qur'an. Ameen. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to gather us in Jannah with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'een, and those that were truly dutiful and diligent when it came to the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ameen. Hada wallahu a'lam. Everything correct said, my dear brothers and sisters, is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He is perfect. And any mistakes are from myself and shaytan, and I seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness. I love you all for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I'm grateful to your invite and hospitality, and look forward to the next 2 days together as we complete 3 days together bi'idhnillahi ta'ala with the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين سبحان الله وبحمده سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.